All right, if you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I pray the Lord will be our teacher today and we can learn something. Paul gives us in this chapter and these upcoming chapters, he exhorts us and he exhorts us and he exhorts us and he exhorts us some more. He keeps telling us, in light of those first 11 chapters, what those results of redemption are, what we ought to do out of that debt of love, debt of gratitude, seeing what Christ has provided for us, how we ought to walk in this world. I pray we can take heed to it. I hope tonight, I got a pretty long text. We're going to go from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. I want to go through it twice. But if someone were to just pick up verse 9 and start reading, it says, let love be without dissimulation. That's a precept, isn't it? He's telling us to do something. And that's, well, there's a law. There's a rule. Let's just do that. Don't let love be without dissimulation. Here's how love's going to be. Here's your cookie cutter. Here's your rules. Here's your guidelines. We have to understand where that love comes from, don't we? I pray tonight we can see Christ, our walk in this life in light of Christ, and that we can see Christ again. But we know in those first 11 chapters so clearly, Paul tells us we were ruined by the fall. All of mankind, born of Adam. We fell in the garden. We fell in our conception. We fell in our birth. We fell every day of our lives that we've been breathing. This old flesh, that's all it does, falls. And we see that we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. The only hope that we have, us fallen, sinful men and women, is that Christ was our substitute. His blood was shed for us. He bore our sin. He bore our guilt. And He gave us His righteousness. It's our only hope. We won't perish in our sins. And He clearly tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to us, regenerates us, puts that seed of Christ, that incorruptible seed in our hearts, quickens us, makes us alive. That's where our true life is. We happen to be alive on this earth, but our life is not in this world, and it's not of things of this earth. Our life's with Christ who saved us. We saw so clearly there when we went through 1 John, God loved us. He loved a people in Christ. And when He loved those people, He loved them forever. And after we find out about it, and the Holy Spirit comes to us, does a work of regeneration in our hearts. We're born again. Born anew. New spirit. New man in us. We love God who first loved us. That's why we love Him. He first loved us. And once we love Him, we see His love for us, then we love our brethren. Our love goes to our brethren. So Paul tells us here in verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means hypocrisy. Don't let your love be fake. You can fake love for quite a while. You can act like you love somebody. But Paul said, let your love be sincere. Sincere. Earnest. How could I have sincere love? I sure don't feel like I have it most of the time. Ask the Lord for it. Lord, give me a sincere love for Christ. Allow me to see your sincere love for me in Him. And give me a sincere love for my brethren. Ask the Lord for it. And I don't want to just have it in word. It's so easy for us to live our lives and say, I love you. I love you. You ever go off the phone with somebody? I almost did it with a pizza man. All right, love you, bye. That's how easy we just throw it around. We don't just need to do it in word. We need to do it in deed. Look here in 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Begin in verse 18. Apostle John writes, my little children, That's a good way to love, isn't it? You're not barking orders. He says, my little children. That's tender. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us love in deed and in truth, in our actions. And of course, he's not limiting us saying we can't tell our brothers and our sisters in Christ that we love them. Of course we can. Let's show them. Show them. If we ask the Lord, Lord, give me the ability to love my brethren. And give me the ability to show them that I love them. Give me arms that'll hug them. Give me ears that'll listen to them. Give me feet that'll go to them when they're sick, when they're tired. It'll help them. Look there in verse 4. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. There's a reason that we have this, a source of this motivation. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Here's our love. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the bloody sacrifice, the sin-atoning, acceptable sacrifice that we could not provide for ourselves. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, if after that manner of giving Himself for us, we ought also to love one another out of a debt of gratitude, sincerely, without hypocrisy, love one another. Love one another. Sometimes I've been an offense. I've offended brother and sister on more than one occasion in the past. And down the road, I realized they were long-suffering. They forbore me. And I thought, oh, I've offended them. And I felt horrible about it. Oh, I was sorry. I really was. Just tore all to pieces. That's to think it, isn't it? What's to do something about that? Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. I see that I offended you. I shouldn't have. And I'm sorry. Is that the right thing to do? Look back just a couple pages there in James. James chapter 5. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for another that ye may be healed. He's not telling us to, let's sit down in a quiet room and I'm going to tell you everything bad I've ever done in my life. That room might overflow, but I ain't got enough time for that. But whenever you're wrong and you've offended a brother or sister and it weighs on you, tell them. Say, I'm sorry. Confess your faults one another and pray for one another. Pray the Lord to be with you. Give you that love to bind you, that you may be healed. That love for Christ. If two believers, if they haven't offended each other, they will at some point. Whenever they have a trial, they have a strife between them. Let's sit down and pray together. Father, forgive us for our sin. We're just sinners. Lord, be merciful to us. If we can truly have a heart that earnestly, without hypocrisy, in love, praise to our Master who saved us those things. Well, what else could get in the way? Everything else is gone. There ain't nothing here worth fighting over. You know what? I'm sorry. Let's just worship Christ together. Let's support that gospel. And it says there, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Be a child of God, one that Christ has made righteous, robed in His righteousness, to effectually and fervently, passionately pray to Him. It avails much. He doesn't ignore us. He gives, He teaches, He provides for us. So that's the way we are to love. Now, they're back in our text there in Romans 12. He says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Let there be no hypocrisy. Let it be sincere love. Abhor that which is evil. cleave to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. That makes sense, don't it? Don't like evil things and cling to good things. Cleave to the good things. That makes sense. But how do we apply that? I need to apply that in myself. We need to apply that in ourselves. Turn from the evil that's in me and look to Christ that dwells in me. Stop looking at myself. I abhor my sin as David did, as Job did. I hate the sin that I am. But it's so easy to just stare at that sin all the time, isn't it? And if you look into that sin, you're not looking to Christ. When we see it, we have pain with it. We abhor it. But cling to Christ. Look to Him. We need to abhor evil and cleave to that which is good in our brethren. If you wanted to find something that's evil in me, you ain't going to have to look long. Won't take much digging. You'll find out a whole lot. Evil things. Sin. Wickedness. Horribleness. But in our brethren, we shouldn't look for the evil things, should we? We say, oh, look at our fathers. Got drunk and in there naked in his tent. Be like Ham. Just go tell on him. Get your blanket. Walk in backwards. Cover the sins of your brother. Somebody says, did you hear about so-and-so? I don't want to hear it. Don't tell them. I want to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Boy, that ends a lot of strife, don't it? And we need to abhor evil and cleave to that which is good in this life that we live on this earth. Does that mean quit going to rock and roll concerts? No. But look to Christ, not the world. There's so much. You got plenty of evil. Your head would spin. You never would stop looking at it. That's all that's out there. And we dig like a shovel and loose sand, don't we? As hard as we can dig, trying to find something. All you're doing is moving sand. Sand of evil, isn't it? Cling to that which is good. Look there in verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be ye transformed, that you might prove the Lord's will. Does that prove it to Him? No, that's prove it to us. How am I going to have this love that's unfeigned? How am I going to have a sincere love for Christ and sincere love for my brethren? How am I going to abhor evil and cling to that which is good? The will of God must take place. He has to do it for us, doesn't He? It says there in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We just looked at recently. We have one spirit. Paul says our brotherly love. We have one spirit. We have one body. One hope. One Lord. One faith. We have one baptism. It makes us related. We're the whole family of God. Children of God. We put up with our earthly families, don't we? Our earthly family has things I put up with that I wouldn't put up with in any stranger walking up down the street. That's my family. You bear it. Suffer long with them. That's my family. And that's how we should be with our spiritual families. Long-suffering with them. Who am I to love? The whole family. The whole body of Christ. How am I supposed to love them? Sincerely. Look there in 1 Corinthians 13. All the characteristics of love. Love suffers long. It doesn't fail. Love doesn't envy. Just before this, Paul was showing us in Ephesians 4 about those gifts of the Spirit. The Lord gives us gifts, gives us duties, dispensations that we're to do. I shouldn't look at my brother and say, well, why are they getting to do that? Or my sister, well, how come she's getting to do this? How come she knows that? Be thankful for them. Rejoice with them in hope and happiness, don't we? I'm looking down. I'm not envying them. That old illustration that, I don't know who said it, but it said two angels came and the Lord's going to send one to rule the earth and one to sweep the streets. It wouldn't make a difference to them two angels which one did what. Sincerely love one another. Sincerely love Christ. Prefer one another. I was talking to Brother Cody Henson today, and he was preaching out of this, and I was preaching out of this. We was talking about it a little bit, and I said, all right, well, I prefer you. I do. Each one of you sitting here, I prefer you. I may have brothers and sisters the Lord hasn't called yet walking around this county. I don't know who they are. I trust He'll call them. But for you that are here, I prefer you. A lot of stuff happening in our country today. I know the fella on TV. I've been in his company for a good while. A couple of weeks. I prefer your company over his. I prefer them. You know why that is? Sheep need sheep. So many lost sheep in this world. Whenever the Lord calls them, what does He do to that sheep that's lost? At least 99. What does He do to that sheep? He goes and gets it. And He brings it back. That poor, defenseless sheep that has no defenses, has no instincts, don't have any smarts, any ability to comprehend this stuff, and He puts it with other sheep. And they herd together. Stay close. That's where they're safe. Because they prefer one another. If you have dogs and sheep in a field, that sheep's going to go to the sheep. It prefers the sheep. How can two or three walk together if they are not in agreement? They'll prefer one another. Be not unequally yoked in this world. If we are unequally yoked in this world, that happens. We have that in our families. We have that in our occupations. We have that all around us, in our neighbors. There's unbelievers around us. People that are just blatantly hate the gospel. And a lot of hardship can come from that. But we don't pursue what they pursue. We don't conform to the world. My pastor used that example one time. If one of your children was doing heroin and you wanted to help them, you wouldn't go down there and do heroin with them to try to get them off of heroin. If one of my siblings or a loved one or a friend is going to a false church, it's just blatantly wrong, I won't go to church with them to try to get them to come out of that church. Just declare the gospel to them. And then go be with the sheep. Go be with those that you prefer. It says in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Now in our given occupation, what the Lord gives us in our hand to do in this earth, whether that's the job we have, our career, or if that's you retired folks, you do a lot of stuff, keep busy. We should do that unto the Lord. Physically in this earth. We're sweeping floors or we're running a company. Do it unto the Lord. If you have someone ruling over you, serve them as if you're serving the Lord because He put that ruler over you. And if He wants to take that one away, He will. That boss or manager, whatever it is. But especially, that's physically, but especially spiritually in serving the Lord. We should do that in love. Those offices that we're given, whether that's to minister, or that's to preach, or that's to teach, or exhort, whatever it is, we should do that unto the Lord fervently. Fervently unto Him. It says there in verse 8, or he that extorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. If we've been given the gift to show mercy, how can we be given that gift? Mercy's had to have been shown to us. Let us do it cheerfully. Let us do it cheerfully unto the Lord, fervently. We have the opportunity to show mercy. I know what mercy is. That guy was mean to me. I want to be merciful. The Lord was merciful to me. Be cheerful about it. It says in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We're to rejoice in hope of Christ. His love for us. It's everlasting. What's our hope? Christ is our hope. How long will He be till we're with Him? We see Him face to face. We should rejoice in hope with our brethren. When we're wounded, when we're offended, when we're hurt, And that's not a scrape. That's a deep cut sometimes when we're really wounded. Let's rejoice in Christ together. Let's praise Him together. Sing a song together. Let's pray together. That'll heal that wound, won't it? Patient in tribulation. How can I be? Look at this world. Look at the news. Look what's going on around me. How can I be patient with all these trials going on? And these heavy trials. There's a lot of believers in this nation right now that are hurting. And I mean heavy trials. How can I be patient in that tribulation? Look to Christ. Look to His love for us. Look at His patience towards us. Remind and be reminded by our brethren. Those sheep are herded together. We're shepherded together. One gets low. Another one's having a good day. Remember who saved you. Look to Him. And then when I'm down, you tell me. Remember who saved you. Oh, you're in His hand. No man can take you out of His hand. Patience and tribulation and continuing instant in prayer. Does that mean we pray 24/7, just rocking back and forth and chanting a bunch of stuff? Of course not. No. That means effectually fervent, like James was telling us. Earnest, diligent, and attend to prayer. Earnestly pray, diligently pray, and attend to prayer. Times and evenings I sit down at the dinner table and I think, Lord, have I even prayed to You today? Lord, in Your love, give me a heart that prays earnestly. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I don't know much how to expound on that. A brother or sister, someone that Christ died for needs something. And that's all it is things. Whatever it is. Why wouldn't I distribute to them if I had? I use that illustration with a friend of mine. I tried to help them and something they need help in, they didn't want to take it. Nobody wants to take nothing, do we? We want to contribute. Well, let me do this for you. I have a hard time receiving. My friend had a hard time receiving. I said, you know, if we was at Mom's house, and she made a big old plate of biscuits, and I put two biscuits on my plate, and you put one biscuit on your plate, and you want another biscuit, do you think you could have one? And I said, well, of course. I knew I was being silly, wasn't I? Anything that I need or my brother or sister needs, my Heavenly Father will provide. If He's provided for me, how could I not just freely give to those around me that's in need? Given to hospitality. Given in love, with that loving spirit that's hospitable. That wants to serve, wants to help. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless those that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Paul learned this from our master. And he said it there in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn over and look at it. Matthew chapter 5. Again, in verse 43, Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Well, I love my children and they love me. Well, dictators love their children. Evil people, don't they do the same thing? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what we're given to do. How can we do that? How could a person, and how could I do that? How could I love my enemies, those that persecuted me, those that just spit in your face if they have opportunity to, crack you upside the head? How could I love them? I see how I persecuted Christ. I see how I forsook Him, how I was thankless, and I see His patience and kindness towards me. Now all of a sudden that's possible, isn't it? Maybe I ain't as mad as I thought I was. Back in our text there, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be long-suffering, don't envy. Love doesn't envy. And weep with the saints. Those that are hurting. Let them know you know they're hurting. And if you're hurting, tell your brethren. So they know to pray for you. They know to weep with you. Those trials that we go through. You'll both see Christ at the end of it, I promise you. Verse 16. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. What does that mean? Be of the same mind. Let this mind be in you. Meek and lowly. We're just sinners saved by grace, aren't we? These are the high doctrines. We don't need to worry. We don't need to talk that with everybody. No. That's one doctrine. The doctrine of Christ, isn't it? We're all the same. It says, condescend. Share the gospel with those poor in spirit. Whether they're an enemy or not. Share with them. Mind not. Avoid those high doctrines. Paul deals with this in the next couple of chapters as we get to it. Those that just grew in the faith longer and spent more time and have a greater understanding how they're to deal with our brethren that just heard the gospel. How they're supposed to deal with it. And be not wise. Don't let your own wisdoms in the things of this world. And when you interpret scriptures, look to Christ when you interpret them. In the light of Him. Verse 17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I have a great struggle with that. Recompensing no man evil for evil. Those that are mean to me, that's my instinct, isn't it? And what's worse is my other instinct is that I'm pretty honest inside all men. I think so. I don't know which one I'm more deceived on. Turn another cheek, our Master said in Matthew 5. Solomon told us, he said, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. Someone wants to slap one cheek, and I turn another. The Lord sent that hand to my cheek, didn't He? If I love Him, trust Him, and look to Him, we'll remember these things. This is the love towards potential brethren, those that walk up and down the streets that we don't know. The Lord hadn't called yet. People at the grocery store. Backed into your car. Should we be nice to them? Absolutely. Turn another cheek if they're mean to you. But this love and grace, it looks to our Lord. In the same way whenever our brethren do this to us. But it says, provide things honest in the sight of men. In all of our dealings, we're to be honest. You got a business, you're buying a vehicle, whatever you're doing, be honest in it. Be upright, be honest, but especially spiritually, in the gospel. Someone says, well, let go and let God. Don't you agree, Kevin? I couldn't say something like that about my God. Maybe that's your God. You think you can let Him do something? That's sharing the truth with Him. We can do it kindly, too. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. The first thing I used to think of before I did something evil was, today ain't a day, but it's possible. Just, it's not in me today to live peaceably with these folks. How foolish I am, isn't it? Justify anything. How can we live peaceably with all men in an unpeaceful world? So much division. Christ is on His throne. Do I remember that throughout the day? Do I remember that when I turn the news on or when I turn it off because I'm upset? When I hear reports of what's happening with our brethren, Christ is risen. He's on His throne. Oh, shouldn't that just make us calm as sheep? You upset about that? Shouldn't be, should I? And just live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Years ago, I used to read that, and I thought, and that's true. If you got an enemy, someone's against you in this world, and you're just sweet as sugar to them, kind, you don't get get flustered. You don't get fuzzled. Sweet to them. Giving. You want something to eat? You need something to drink? That heaps hot coals on their head, and boy, they get mad, don't they? That used to be a game to me when I was a young child, too. I could be nicest to. But physically, if we do this, if we truly do, if we truly had an enemy, and in love, that's not love doing that out of spite, is it? But in love, and understanding, unfeigned love, if we feed them, look after them in this world, as we would like to be looked after, that may give them some fiery coals in their minds to think about, wouldn't it? Why they treat me this way? Why they've been so gracious? Why they've been so kind? And that's just physically. Spiritually, we tell them the truth of Christ. If your enemy's really hungry, someone's just been mean to you for decades, and they said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do when I die. I don't have any righteousness. Christ is that living bread. There's something to eat. Oh, thirst. What am I going to do when I meet the Lord? Christ is the living water. There's something to drink. And maybe, just maybe, if the Lord's pleased to do so, He may heat that fire of the Holy Ghost in them. Baptize them. It says in verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let this mind be in you. Keep our thoughts and affections on things above. Now, I've got to hurry. I hope we saw Christ coming into this. This is the reason Paul's given us these exhortations. Because of what he's preached to us those first 12 chapters. And this is how it applies to us. It's how it fits our shoe leather on a daily basis. This is our master. If any of these things are required of me, I don't fulfill them the way I want to. I don't fulfill them the way I ought to. People say, well, I don't know if... Todd Knopper said that, I think it was today. People said, well, I just don't know if I'm loving enough. He said, let me answer a question for you. You don't. If any of this is required of me, I can't fulfill it. Who can? Our master did, didn't he? I'll go quickly. Look here in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Did Christ love in sincerity? Did he just say that he loved his people, or did he prove it? He came and died on this earth for his people. Greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That was an action. That's love in action, isn't it? Did he abhor evil and cling to good? The whole time he bore our sin, and that shame and guilt of it, he looked solely to the Father. Constantly. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Christ, our elder brother, he preferred his sheep. He preferred his people. And he was ridiculed for it. He was mocked for it. Said, look at him. He's with publicans and sinners. The wine bibber down there having a glass of wine with those harlots. What's wrong with him? That lady washed his feet. They said, what are you letting her touch you for? He preferred his sheep, didn't he? He preferred his brethren. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Our master said, I must be about my Father's business. He was not slothful in business, and the business he was sent here to accomplish, was he? Did he accomplish it? He said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's the enduring of the cross right there. Our master looked for that hope of his Father. He patiently dealt with the tribulation that was laid on him. And the whole time praying earnestly, praying fervently to his Father in perfect holiness. Verse 13, distributing the necessity of saints given to hospitality. We had a necessity, didn't we? It was necessary for Christ to come. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Each one of Christ's sheep were born cursing him, persecuting him. And oh, how he blessed us. He didn't curse us. He blessed us, didn't he? So forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. My master wept. He sent her Martha and Mary in front of Lazarus' tomb. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I get emotional sometimes. My eyes well up. Can't keep from it. Can't hardly talk. I start crying. My master wept. He wept with long suffering with those brethren. Long suffering and meek. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Be not high, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Our master condescended all the way to us. All the way to man. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation. Took on him the form of a servant. Became a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It says, be not wise in your own conceits. He prayed in Luke 22, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. He recompensed to us good for evil. All of my iniquity, he recompensed righteousness to us because he bore it. Our enmity was met with his grace. And it says, be honest in the sight of all men. Even Pilate said that. I washed my hands of this man. I find no fault in him. He was honest in his dealings. But verse 18. If it be possible, as much as Lot liveth in you, live peaceably with all men. Thank God Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. You say, oh, do you have any rest? Do you have any peace? If I have Christ, I do. When I look to him, I do. He is my peace. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In Isaiah, it says, like a sheep, dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But overcometh evil, but be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Our Lord said, if any hunger and any thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Plumb full. They truly hunger righteousness. You come to him. Lord, I have no righteousness of my own. I need righteousness. I thirst for it. I'm hungry for it. He said, they shall be filled with his righteousness. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When he feeds and he gives us drink, he comes with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what John the Baptist was saying. He says, I may baptize you with water, but there's one greater than I coming. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit. That's who Christ is. These exhortations we're given. In the light of Christ, here's what we ought to do out of a debt of gratitude. This is who he is. This is what he did. He accomplished these things. That's how he lived on this earth. And that's his character. What a loving character. Once we see him, he is all the motivation a believer needs to want to be made just like Christ. To want to be conformed to his image. Not when we hear him. Not just when we read these words and we hear a little bit about Christ, but when we see him. When he reveals himself to us. That's what Isaiah was saying in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord. I'd heard a lot about him. Now I see him. I'm lifted up on his throne. Seeing our Lord, we have a heart to be made like him for eternity. Oh, I want to be like him. And I want to be like him now. I won't be the way I want to be. No, I won't be the way I ought to be. But boy, I want to. I desire that. I want to walk upright in this world and honor him and not bring a reproach on the gospel. I pray the Lord to let us have our love and our walk in this world be without dissimulation. Without hypocrisy and sincerity. Looking to him. Amen.